And we've got an early morning present for you. We've got president, he should be, actually. But Professor Jonathan Jansen will be joining you slightly earlier. And I think it's important to get his insights into these results. What I like about Jonathan is that he's honest about it. He's not here to kiss anybody's hindy. He's here to say, all right, here are the results. This is what we need to look at. These are some of the underlying challenges. And let's get on with it. But first, Joy in Camps Bay, good morning.
Hi, Keno.
Hello.
It's Joy. You know who I am.
Yes.
Hi. The word fail actually means first attempt in learning. So there is no fail in any way in the world.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Okay. Joy, thank you. And thank you for the contribution as always. Let's go to Craig in Lakeside quickly. Hi there, Craig.
Morning, Keno. Just wanting to find out if any other people in the Western Cape are managing to get their results online, because in my household we are unable to achieve that.
Oh.
I phoned the Western Cape Education Department. The lady there told me that that department only comes in at 12 o'clock. There's no one there. So I just wondered if are there other Cape Talk listeners that are actually getting their results online as we speak?
Okay. So if anybody's struggling, I'll also ask the team to contact Brona Hammond, and to see if she can give us some insights into that. But we are joined by the distinguished professor at Stellenbosch University, the man who is synonymous with education, has amazing insights, Professor Jonathan Jansen. A very good morning to you.
Morning, Kenneth.
Do you have the pom-poms out, Jonathan? Are you, like everybody else, going, woo, we've made 88.4%.
81.3.
No, but I'm starting out with this free state.
We should look forward. No. I've been to the show like you so many times that on the one hand, I just want to say congratulations to all the kids who passed. This is fantastic. And, for every individual student, I just wish them well as they go to work or college or whatever the case might be. That said, this is a joke, as usual, to claim 81.3% pass rate. The fact is that no matter which way you slice this onion, if you look at the cohort pass rate, that is the number of kids who started in grade 10 and who actually did pass, it's 38.9%. I think that is a true measure of where we are. But if you want to go further back and be more, generous, you go to grade 2 and you look at the number of kids who started there and the number who passed, the pass rate is closer to 42%. There is no way on earth, that 81.3% reflects the health of the system. It might reflect the pass rate for this year or for last year on it. It does not tell you anything. About the kids who dropped out, who disappeared, who are repeating, and so on and so forth. So, no, there's nothing, no pom-poms.
Exactly. I knew you were going to say this because, as you say, year in, year out, same situation. And the one thing that compounds all of this as well is our reading with understanding. And, I mean, it's one of those questions we need to ask about the system. And this goes back to early childhood development as well, right? The fact that, close to 80%, 70%, 70-odd percent of learners in grade 4 can't read with understanding, that surely must have such an impact further upstream as well.
It's huge. And so you have to ask, which of the school subjects today give you a fairer reflection of the state of the system? And it's actually not history, where 90% of the kids pass. Now, I did history in the clinic, I can tell you. If you have capacity for memory and you can get 90% of your sleep, you cannot do that with mathematics. And that is why in both math and science, as my colleague Nick Spall just pointed out a few hours ago, we're down by 4 percentage points. So the number of kids writing mathematical literacy has gone up predictably. But the number of kids doing math and science by enrollment and by pass rate is down by 4%. So and you can't fake math. You can't memorize math. As John Volmeek from Malusi himself said, the kids have to learn how to solve non-routine problems. So you can fake it in history, I'm sorry, but you can't fake it in math. And that's really where we get a picture of what's going on in the system.
And if I had to be the minister, which will never happen, And you had to advise me on what to do moving forward. Low-hanging fruits and then more medium to long-term things that I would need to do to make sure that I can give a better, a true reflection, you know, of not a true reflection of what we've achieved. If I wanted to improve that 38-point-odd% or 40% pass rate dramatically, what are some of those things I need to be doing?
So I would say, Minister Cummings, this is what you do. You tell the country that in 5 years' time, the pass rate for all subjects will be 50%. Still low, but it's not 30 or 40, it's 50%.
Yeah.
Then what you do is every year you increase the pass rate from 30% to 35% or whatever the case might be, but increase it every year so that the standard against which, hello,
you there? I can hear you. Don't
worry. Yeah. So the standard against which kids perform goes up by 5% every year. Then what you do, Minister, is you put in place the kinds of measures, the capabilities for the kids to get that incremental pass rate every year. Now, you can then say to me as Minister, but do we have proof of this? Does it work? Absolutely. I can show you two projects where this works, in which in the one by Lerner, you basically sort of say to each kid, you got 20% in math this year, next year is 25% or whatever case. But by system, that's something we actually did at the Free State. You know, everybody got very angry, called it racist and all of that. But what I do know is that systems have the remarkable capacity to be responsive to a new expectation. So we can do this, but in that way you can at least hold your head up and in a respectable company and sort of say, we have a 50% pass mark for all subjects, and guess what? Over a period of 5 years, we have shifted this system in that direction. That is the single most important thing you can do to the system as a whole. But one more thing I'd say to you as Minister is to deal with the inequalities in the system. You have to start by investing heavily. Shift your budget by 50, 60, 70% towards early childhood education. Build the foundations, and you get there anyway.
Well, absolutely, because if you're dealing with a horse that already bolted, it's just about to leave the gates. You have to ask questions about primary school, high school, whether we have the resources. It's not just about the people. It's about the way of teaching. It's about understanding learners and the way that the best way in which they learn, because this is not cookie cutter, you know this. You know, some people, you know, especially with mathematics, if you're going to get them to get it, there are different techniques that you need to use with different people. Or am I smoking something?
No, you're absolutely correct, and that is why, you know, my colleague and former doctoral student Muawiyah Khali, you really got to get him on your program. Has devised a system in which for every kid, because the kids are different, some have other learning needs, emotional needs, other things, for every kid they've worked out across several schools personalized measures of achievement that go up by every single year in terms of expectation. But you can't just raise the bar for expectations unless you also increase the investment in teacher training, development, child support, whatever the case might be. But this can be done.
And part of that shifting of the budget, the 70% that you're talking about, Professor Jansen, would include, you know, more facilities, more teachers, because 40 kids in a class, no matter how great your techniques, it just ain't going to work.
No, it's not going to work. So you got to, first of all, deal with the infrastructure problem, which is, you know, fundamental in the poorer provinces like the Eastern Cape. So you have to have a decent place in which to learn. Then you've got to make sure that the person leading the learning, the teacher, okay, has to be somebody who is not only competent, but confident to be able to deliver on the curriculum, you know. And if you just get the teacher right, the infrastructure right, and the materials, the textbooks, whatever the case might be right, then we can do this, you know.
Indeed. What about the CAPS system in and of itself?
Look, the CAPS thing has never impressed me, in part because it was a response to the frustrations with the earlier curricula, if you remember, OBE, curriculum 2005, all of that stuff, which was regarded as too open-ended and too, you know, exploratory and all of that. And so now you have a highly structured curriculum that requires every teacher to be compliant with what government wants. It's heavily loaded with demand, content demands, and you've got to get through that very quickly. This is a joke. Remember, if teachers are to be regarded as professionals, they should have be empowered with the judgment okay, to be able to make decisions about what works in which class, for which learner, in which school, et cetera, et cetera. And we need to take at least 20-30% of the content out of that, you know, and focus on thinking, focus on reasoning, focus on debating, focus on writing, et cetera. So the way to do CAPS is, I think we should really unravel this, give the power back to teachers. But I understand where it comes from. It comes from a distrust of teachers, their capacity, their competence. So what do? You treat them like factory workers, you know, and they have to remake the same thing 100 times a day according to specifications. I really think that undermines over the long term the profession of teaching.
It's all very much prefrontal cortex stuff and very little limbic stuff. And we learn and remember best, you know, through a healthy combination of both. And, you know, it's not being done. You know, you should really at some stage think of becoming a minister.
No, I spoke to my church. I am going to become a minister. It's safer.
Listen, is maths lit all that bad?
It's rubbish, you know. I mean, first of all, you cut off any number of professions to children if you force them into math, like engineering, for example, like medicine. Yeah. Like even a good BA, a solid BA, shouldn't take a tube of math, in my view, you know. But it's a joke. I think we should, you know, the thing, try this, going to school. Whenever I go into school, I've got a bag of tricks, you know, when the principal takes me around the school. I go into a class and I say to the kids, a man has 3 goats, 4 sheep, how many pigs does he have? You will be amazed at how many of those kids try to work out 3 times 4 or 5, you know, because instead of thinking about the problem, they assume, you know, that every number, you know, can be messed with to get an answer. So that's what I'm talking about.
No,
you know, the mathematical literacy takes students down a lesser path. That's why more kids are taking it. You know, many more kids are taking mathematics than the real math that gets you into, you know, serious. Now, I've had 2 children, you know, they're not, you know, they will tell you we're not the most excited about mathematics, but I say to them, I will move heaven and earth to make sure you get support for doing mathematics, but I really will take you out of the world if you do mathematical literacy for the simple reason that it's easier to pass, you know?
Yeah.
You know this thing, let me just give you one more example, if you don't mind. I love sports, as you know, and when I follow this cricket, you know, in the last period of the day, okay, after tea, on the last day of a 5-day test, you know, you find our cricketers batting it out in the blazing sun to try and save the test, to draw the test. You know what they call that over 5 days? A test.
Exactly.
What we have in schools is not a test, you know. If 98% plus of your students in the IB exam pass, is that a bloody test? Just give them the certificates and let them go, you know. It's not waste the country's time.
Love you, man. Professor Jonathan Jansen, thank you so much for your time as always. Great insights. Professor Jonathan Jansen is the distinguished professor in the Faculty of Education at the University of Stellenbosch. You want to comment on that? Hey, you can. 021-446-0567. WhatsApp 072-567-1567.